welcome back to the long-awaited Head in the Office Q&A. Mm-hmm. You guys finally did it. Mm-hmm. All you broke leftists finally got jobs.
That's right.
And started making us more money.
Got us to the point where we could support ourselves enough to answer your silly, goofy questions.
And some of these questions are silly and goofy. Oh. Let me tell you.
Believe you me.
We're
not holding back. You know, we said we'd answer your questions.
I said no holds barred.
We said we would answer your questions, so that's what we're here to do today. And just a quick thank you to everyone that got us here.
Oh yeah,
you know we set this goal. We've been incrementally setting goals as we've moved forward with the pod, and it's surprising to see that we ever genuinely got this far.
We never would have thought I'd make money at all.
Yeah.
This goal in particular had been edging us for months.
Exactly.
Just waiting there on the precipice.
Yeah.
Ready to explode.
And if you like content like this, where we can do fun little things where we're not specifically talking about the news, or if you want more content out of us in general, you should go check out the Patreon.
Give us more money.
Eventually, this episode will air for everyone that's not Patreon exclusive, but this is coming to the Patreon first, a couple weeks, week and a half beforehand. So if you want to get stuff like this early, or if you want to hear more stuff like this in general and get access to all the benefits that come along with being a patron, then check it out. Patreon.com/headintheofficepod. It's all there for you in the description.
But if you're listening on Patreon, mm-hmm. What's cracking?
Exactly. How you guys doing?
We're going to get to your questions first.
Exactly. So should we just dive right in?
Generally, we're going to split it up. We got questions split into three categories. It's like personal/podcast related, political, and then goofy-ass questions.
Uh-huh.
And we'll run through each category like sequentially. We'll run through the patrons mm-hmm. first, and that's how we're going
to
get it.
You guys are going to get to know us intimately.
Intimately.
And I'm kind of upset about it.
Yeah.
But I'll do it because I said I would.
Exactly.
You know, I'm a man of my word.
I hold myself to this commitment.
You want to go back and forth with these questions?
We'll go back and first. You want to take it off the top?
First one is from Sunny, a patron.
Okay.
They say, drop your top three Star Wars characters. I'll let you take it away.
That's got to be. It's got to be like, it's got to be Maul.
Uh-huh.
Anakin.
Uh-huh.
/ Vader.
They're the same person after all.
They are the same person.
Spoiler alert if no one's watched that.
Fuck. And then maybe... Maybe like a Obi-Wan.
See, like if I was going with my goofball picks would be like we gotta get like
Jar
Chewbacca
Jar
in there.
Binks.
Jar Jar's gotta be in the goofball picks somewhere. He's gotta be ranked somewhere in there. And maybe like a, I don't know, man. I'm a fan of like the newer Star Wars stuff with like Grogu, Mando.
Oh, true.
I'm a big fan of that stuff. So I'd have to put Grogu in there for goofball picks. But if we're doing seriousness.
Oh, honestly, I might have to put Mando in there over Obi-Wan.
If we're doing serious, I gotta go Mando.
Yep.
Got to. Number one. Number two, probably Anakin/Darth Vader.
He's real.
The same. And then number three, that's a tough one. Maybe Obi-Wan, I would say.
Okay.
That's a
respectable
solid top three.
List. That's
it's a respectable list. Top three. And I just, you know, I'm of the opinion that Mando really saved the Star Wars universe.
Oh, Mando 100% saved the Star Wars universe.
I was getting sour on it for a while.
Give us more money so we can give you more media takes.
Exactly.
That's the takeaway from this question. So head on over to patreon.com/headintheofficepod. Anyway.
All right, next one.
Will the future of Hiddo be compromised by y'all getting big boy jobs and not having enough time/energy to keep the pod going?
It's not a big boy job?
By Aaron Van Eaton. Yeah. What do you mean?
This isn't a big boy job to you?
It's actually in the palm of your hands as listeners to make this a big boy job.
You know, surprisingly, it's not up to us. It's up to you guys. No, I would love for this to take up all of our time and energy and be profitable at the same time.
It would be fantastic if forever we could just do this and I wouldn't have to work a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
But I don't see the future necessarily being compromised by it unless I get a job in August that's like, yeah, we got a social media policy that is not going to support this. Then it's going to have to change in pretty significant ways. But I don't really see that happening. Mm-hmm. And at worst, probably like there'll be a venue change.
Yeah.
A venue change, things like that.
I mean, we'll figure it out as it comes, but I guess it's all up to how the winds of fate treat us going
exactly.
forward. How the algorithm treats us, really.
Like, the pod is like a disease. It'll mutate and it'll survive.
Exactly.
And no matter which way, shape, or form it had to survive in.
But it does a lot better when supported. When you don't wash your hands, when you don't wear a mask.
True.
When you are in constant contact with others sharing it.
Give it so much fucking money.
We are a lot like an infection, what can I say? The next one here is from The Fed. also known as Clay. Clay asks us, what suggestions do you have for others trying to start a podcast? Me and a friend are planning on starting one, not political, so no competition, don't worry, and have lists of ideas and things that we need, but I'm not sure, but I'm sure experience opens you up to things and we may not have noticed or thought about. Also, what is the favorite part of recording together?
That's crazy that we've made it to the place where people are asking us about tips on starting a podcast, right?
We're in a position to like platform people now.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
That's nuts. But I guess like, shit, generally starting a podcast, we kind of just did it.
Yeah.
We have been talking for like a couple months, like, oh, hey, we talk about this stuff anyway. Why not record it and post it on the internet?
Yeah. Yeah, when I've noticed a significant uptick in people commenting on our Instagram or TikTok, YouTube, whatever, and saying, like, in quotations, we should start a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, that's it's how, like, so what?
Yeah. Okay. Like, like, what's wrong with that? Come on now.
That's how every great idea starts. Like, oh, we should do this. And then it happens. But in terms of equipment, you'll need, obviously, mics. Depending on, if you're doing it in person, you'll need, like, a setup, clearly. Our first setup was not great.
No, it wasn't. We started it for, like, less than $500, too. Mm-hmm. Like, we had all the equipment, all the licenses, all whatever we needed to get going, like with a video too.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good video.
No.
If you've been here since the start, you know it was not a good video.
If you want to do a good video, honestly, like we record our videos on my iPhone camera every week.
Yeah.
And it works. I mean, it's 1080p, 30fps. It's really all you need for YouTube anyway.
And it works enough. Like it's got a high enough resolution to be able to zoom in for TikToks to get the nice vertical video going.
Yeah. And if you want video on yours and you just have like a simple, you know, iPhone, whatever the newer one is, you can just go with that. You don't need to buy a camera because a camera would have been a huge expense at the start that we wouldn't have been able to afford.
True.
And then this setup came after once we got a couple of Patreon payments out of the way and we could buy chairs and we bought these tables as well, the metal ones you can see if you're watching our video. We have little side tables.
Facts. Yeah, that's what the laptop supported
and
on.
And then this mixer in the middle came months later because this was very expensive.
That was the big investment. That's our biggest investment into the pod.
Our biggest, and these microphones too were upgrades as well. But they're the biggest and best investments because audio quality, recording, editing, doing the soundboard stuff, it's all so much easier now. But to start off, you just need an audio mixer, a computer or something, some device to record on, and your mics, and you're good to go.
And like shit, the lights that we use in the studio, I know you guys can't see them, but I want to say they're like $30 each off of Amazon.
Yeah, they weren't too much.
They're pretty cheap when you consider like film equipment and studio equipment and like stuff that gets into.
And when it comes to posting, we post through this website called Anchor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the service we use, but there's tons of services we use and they can copyright your stuff for you and they post it to all the apps you want them to post it to, like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. And even some of the lesser known ones that not many people use. So it's actually not as difficult as we imagined it to be, but I guess the difficulty comes into just coming up with content. So
coming up with content, that's the toughest fucking part. Getting views,
yeah,
like marketing, shit like that.
TikTok is your best friend.
Absolutely, TikTok brings in
the audience for sure.
Oh my goodness, it really does. But yeah, we should start a podcast. I don't think anyone ever said that to the guy who was like, we should design an engine. You know what I mean? Yeah. So don't let that keep you down.
I bet people said that to the dude who was like, I'm going to design a car that runs on water. And then they killed him.
I'm going to cure polio. Oh, look at this guy. We should cure polio.
The other part of this question, though, is what's your favorite part of recording together?
Being goofy, I guess.
Being goofballs, yeah.
Being goofballs. It's like the same things happen in the PlayStation party.
Yeah, I've talked to people a bunch about how like we come back here every week from our college dorms, and it's like a 35-minute, 40-minute drive for me.
It's like an hour drive
and
for me.
People always tell us like, oh, just do it over Zoom, and we could. Like we have the means to do so. We could plug the stuff into our computer separately and do it. But it's a lot easier and a lot more fun to just be in person and do it. And it also helps with like video and putting it on YouTube, getting TikToks up. So
having like a nice presentation.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to do it in person. I guess we should come up with the capacity to do it for Zoom if we ever need to. But,
real.
It works for now.
It's big boy jobs happen.
Yeah exactly. Whew. Moving on to our next one, though.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Got this one from James Egbers. I think he actually goes by Jim in our
I think so,
in
too.
Our thank yous, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Another patron. You could live anywhere in the U.S., city, state, where would it be? What you got?
That's tough. See... Gotta live somewhere in a blue state, not because like liberal, but just because of like civil rights nowadays.
It's kind of like a necessity. Like
thinking about like, you know, people I'd want to be around.
I have like female friends.
Exactly. So I wouldn't want to be in a red state. But like nice places. I've been to Colorado a few times. Very nice cities in Colorado. I would definitely probably want to be a bit further out west, if not in Michigan, because Michigan's honestly not a bad place.
I'm fine with Michigan. Yeah. I like Detroit, Ann Arbor. Those are some pretty nice places. I could see myself staying in Ann Arbor for a while.
Michigan's a very diverse place, too.
Yeah.
And you can get to Canada really easy, so Michigan's great. But also,
whether or not, that's a good thing.
Out in, like, you know, I've never been out as far west as, like, Washington and Oregon. I wouldn't want to live in California, but I'd want to visit, you know?
For real. I've only ever... I'm not the most well-traveled guy. I've only really ever been on, like, this side of the country, on, like, east. Yeah. Like, I've been to Virginia. My mom stays down there sometimes. I've been to New York. I've been to Florida a couple times.
Yeah.
It's all right. Virginia's all right. I just kind of... Michigan's kind of nice.
It is nice. It's kind of nice. All the seasons.
All the seasons. Mm-hmm. Big plus. And it's not super high cost of living, especially depending on where you live.
Yeah, also, I don't know if this is just from living in Michigan, but or like my blood is thicker or whatever, but I hate being in super hot environments.
I can't.
It gets so uncomfortable.
I also just physically can't handle it being disabled. I could never live in like Texas.
Yeah, being in like areas that get to like 110 and you gotta like walk around and like wear stuff to like go to work. Like, I can't. That's just, it's too much. It's too much. I like being able to wear my sweatpants and my hoodies and stuff, you know?
For sure. For sure.
So I hope that answers your question.
You got this next one?
Next one's from Cincy Alex, our resident Ohio liver.
Oh, yeah. Ohio expert over here.
Favorite guilty pleasure food? This is another patron question. Gotta be M&M's now.
Gotta be M&M's. Shit, I don't know. Low key, I kind of have awful, like, I don't have, like, awful diet habits. Picky eaters are some of the most oppressed people in the world. I'm not, like, horribly picky, right? But I eat the same fucking thing, like, every day, low-key. I'm usually a psychopath. But I guess foods that I consider guilty pleasure are, like, low-key, like, McDonald's fries.
Mm.
McDonald's fries fucking bang.
Yeah. I mean, I guess guilty pleasure for me, I'm a big fan of Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm a Buffalo Wild Wings
guy. Big B-Dubs guy.
But I wouldn't even say that's, like, guilty pleasure, because it's not terrible for you. Yeah. It's just very calorie full. But I guess I sometimes, if I'm feeling like it, I'll delve into some chocolate type stuff. You know what I mean? For actually, like eating M&Ms and shit like that.
I don't like M&Ms. Like genuinely, like M&Ms that don't have nuts in them. Yeah, I don't like the characters. Yeah. But like M&M, like I'm not a chocolate guy. Like I know this isn't a question, but I'm gonna fuck you. This is my show. I'm more like a gelatinous candy kind of guy. I'm more of a sour candy dude.
All right, that's fair. I'll take it.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, I won't throw the flag on that one.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, probably like McDonald's fries.
Yeah.
I fucks with
McDonald's fries. Eat the same stuff like all the time though. And that's partly because of like cost.
Yeah, it's just like efficient to eat chicken every day.
I've started just like in mass, just like baking a bunch of chicken, baking a bunch of like sweet potatoes, mixing them up, and then like putting them in containers for meal prep. Like,
huge meal prep, dude.
That's all I do nowadays.
Yeah. I just throw a chicken breast in the air fryer, and then pro tip, if you go to Walmart and go to the frozen vegetable section, frozen vegetables are just as healthy as any other vegetables. Like,
that's what I eat.
Literally, there's nothing wrong with eating frozen vegetables. It's pretty much the same fucking thing as getting fresh ones. 88-cent bags at Walmart.
Oh, nice.
88 cents, and you get like a whole bowl of peas, mixed vegetables, corn. I go and I buy like 20 at a time, and then I eat those for like lunch, and I eat them whenever I get like hungry as a snack, and I eat those with dinner too.
Damn, bro's eating healthy.
I do. I try.
Steam them?
They're steamable. You throw them in the microwave. I don't have like a steamer. I just put them in the microwave for like five minutes.
I'll put my frozen veggies in a little pot with water and just cook them up, steam them up a little bit. That's what I'd be doing for dinners.
Damn, that's crazy.
It's probably what I'm going to do tomorrow for dinner, to be honest.
That's probably what I'm going to do tonight when I get home.
Exactly. Next question, one you've been waiting on.
Oh, nice.
This one's not a Patreon question. It says, it's from Secret Admirer. It says, does Gage take it in the ass?
Hey, yo?
That's a deep question.
Only from your mom.
Ooh.
Ah!
It's an interesting confession.
Got him. Hey, Brett, we don't judge around here.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I still accept you. We still do the pod. Moving on to the political patron questions.
Okay.
We got first one from Colton. Colton asks,
Colton,
the left needs to be more united. We know that. My question is, what do you guys think of other leftist ideologies in particular? And then in quotations, it says anarchism, anarcho-communism, Marxism, etc.
Maybe call me a bad leftist, right? But I don't pay much attention to like splinters off of like broader like Marxist ideology, right?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, we talk about this sometimes on the pod. I don't necessarily think it matters to identify myself as an anarcho-communist, to identify myself as a pure Marxist, as a Hegelian.
Yeah.
For the things that we do and like the purpose that we serve on here, I feel like we're a decently like entry level like political podcast.
Yeah.
And I think broadly,
that was the goal,
I think broadly leftism needs to be treated as very entry level, because you got to meet people where they're at. And my goal is to spread leftism, not to, I think a lot of people, like on Twitter specifically, it's easy to shit on people Twitter, and I'm going to because it's easy.
Yeah, super easy.
I think a lot of people on Twitter like to just kind of put themselves into a hole intellectually and like to morally grandstand based off of these like different ideologies. Yeah. I think it is important to read theory. I want to read more theory this year. Probably one of my goals is to actually start reading like theory, but I don't care for a lot of like specific self identifiers.
Yeah.
Because broadly, politics in general isn't there. I'm not going to be my interests in the meantime right now are the same or should be the same as the interests of an anarcho-communist, as a Hegelian, as any of these other ideologies that are maybe further left than me.
Right. Yeah. And I would agree for the most part, just because it's like right now in the country, there is no leftist movement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it doesn't exist. Right now, the furthest left we've got in the mainstream are people like AOC and Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. And they're by no means like actual socialists as we could understand them through like a Marxist lens or an anarchist lens of understanding society. And so we kind of just have to partner with anybody that says they're going to be on our side. And that's why grandstanding and gatekeeping is so harmful, I think, to the left.
Yeah.
Because if we're not willing to work together, even work with liberals that still in part agree with capitalism and the core principles of capital, if we don't work with them, then like it's fascism, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of more left people will take that and say something along the lines of like, oh, well, that's how liberals continue to stay in power and they keep capitalism alive. And that's certainly true to some extent, but it's like we don't have much of a choice.
But it's also like I would rather capitalism be alive for a little bit longer than, I don't know, minorities just fucking die.
Yeah.
Women have their rights stripped away from them. Immigrants be brutalized, like shit like that. You know what I mean? Overall, I do think leftist unity is important.
The revolution's not coming anytime soon.
Yeah,
unless one of you know how to do it, like you got it all worked out and it's going to work, then like I guess it's happening. But we're just not at a point culturally where there's a level of class consciousness that will actually deliver us something like a Marxist revolution.
Yeah.
Everyone's still afraid of communism in this country. Even if they don't understand what it means, they still think that they're afraid of something.
Still so many remnants of the Red Scare.
I guess if I had to like choose a label though, I'd probably just be like, I don't know.
Marxist.
I don't know, something like an orthodox Marxist. Yeah. Or like, I don't know. I guess you could just call me like a socialist, libertarian socialist.
Some shit like that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sympathetic towards a lot of like anarchist arguments, but sometimes they kind of fall off the rails with their opposition to like electoralism.
Oh, for sure.
That I know we have questions about later on, so we can say that. But yeah, generally, I just find the labels to be kind of unhelpful sometimes.
Exactly. It's not necessarily that it doesn't matter. It's just that it's unhelpful right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You got the next one?
Leftist Unity bangs. Yeah, I got the next one. This one's from...
It does bang.
it bangs. This next one's from Judah Marshall. Fave news story of the year. Not the Hitto Awards, but your personal favorite.
So, Hitto Awards, the abortion won Hitto Awards.
Yeah.
So, if we're not choosing that one... And that definitely wasn't my favorite news story. That
was
awful. But it definitely deserved the worst story of the year.
Exactly.
The most entertaining... It's got to be between Kanye and Elon, because so much good shit came out of that. So much good content for us, like in terms of like our statistics. So much good content came out of that, but also it was just enjoyable to watch.
It was.
It was a lot of fun. Not fun, but it was just very entertaining to see Kanye just deteriorate.
If we're thinking about it in like terms of those two, like the whole Elon saga, for like my personal favorite thing that happened this year, honestly, it's. It's probably because while the Kanye shit was crazy and unhinged and it was so hilarious and how unhinged it was, that has like material harm.
Yeah.
I feel like the Elon Twitter shit doesn't like actually harm anybody.
Hurts the people that want to be hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
The online.
So, honestly, probably Elon buying Twitter is my favorite thing that happened this year.
Just because of all the
answers. All of the shit that's come from it. Like him banning the jet tracker, whining about trying to be assassinated, like making up assassination attempts against himself, shit like that. That shit is so funny.
Yeah.
I love making fun of Elon.
He dunked on himself so many times. It was so good. And then the quartering's defense of Elon was
unhinged. My God. Especially that. So and it's like, it soothes a part of my inner child to make fun of Elon because I remember I got sucked into a trap. When he went on Joe Rogan that first time and smoked weed, I was like, wow, maybe this guy's kind of cool. I've come a long way.
Uh-huh.
I've come a long way.
And then he recited the Carl Sagan Tiny Blue Dot.
What people say when they think they're deep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, came a long way, and now you get to dunk on Elon. It's like you're healing yourself.
For money.
The universe is healing itself.
Exactly, exactly.
The next question is from Lord T. The Weathered, another patron question. Lord T. Asks us, how do y'all muster the strength to put effort and work into fighting for the shithole country, as they say, rather than just trying to escape while you can?
In like a sadomasochistic way, I derive pleasure from it.
Oh, yeah.
I derive pleasure from, I guess, shitting on all these news stories and shitting on all the people that somehow found themselves in positions to be some of the most powerful people in the world. Like, yeah. I derive humor from the absurdity in it all.
Yeah, just so you know, just to fully cement the idea that meritocracy doesn't exist,
yeah.
I look at the people that are running the country.
Facts.
And look at the people that are, like, in the highest echelons of society or, you know, the most elite news networks, et cetera. Like, they're all dumb. And so insane. Part of the reason, I guess, that I don't just completely give up is, one, there's a lot of people here.
Really?
Two, the country is the most powerful at the moment in the world, and it's kind of important that, you know, the most powerful country in the world wields its power responsibly, if such a thing is possible.
Yeah.
And also, you can't really escape. I mean, I don't have the money to move anywhere else.
Even if you had the money to move out of America, you can't escape American global hegemony.
Yeah,
you can't do it. And it's like, there are 350 million people here.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't do something, then it just gets worse for everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think as leftists, like, we don't have an option to just opt out.
United we really bargain, divided we beg.
Exactly. Exactly. A house divided cannot stand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
As my boy Abe Lincoln said, we were real tight. Way back when.
Real conservatives, the party of Lincoln.
Yeah, yeah.
Another question from Lord T, the Inquisitive. How did y'all end up so far on the left? Were you just hitting that Michigan za and were like, you know, money really shouldn't determine how good your life is capable of being and what kind of asshole tries to block this good shit?
Yeah, that's about it.
That's about it. Pretty much precisely what happened.
So this one's kind of similar to Carl's question, which was when and how did you become leftist? So I think we can combine these two one.
Yeah.
So I guess for me, I was already on the left for the most part. I wasn't a leftist because I didn't really understand the difference between like liberal leftist and all of that. I didn't have like a nuanced understanding of the political spectrum, but I already kind of associated myself as a liberal, you know, when I was in high school, when I was a young'un. And then I think going into college, one, that experience of taking on so much debt was kind of eye-opening for me because I was like, fuck, like what?
Like, God damn.
Like, I know I don't have to pay this back for a while, but geez, this
That's
is like
a lot. Money.
And I already knew that was sort of unjust. And then, of course, seeing my parents at times having to work multiple jobs growing up certainly didn't help. Didn't help the fact of the right trying to, you know, indoctrinate me into their ideology. Yeah. And then I think when things really kicked up politically around 2020, George Floyd's death, Donald Trump running for office, COVID, our response to that, it really brought me more towards paying attention to politics more in depth. And then eventually falling down the Hassanabi pipeline.
Hey, facts. The Clip Industrial Complex
which helped
got
me,
you.
Helped me articulate the views that I was already developing and eventually brought me to you all. So here I am.
Real.
Yeah.
Real. I guess for me, like, in high school, I did not give a shit about politics. Yeah. I was one of those people that genuinely didn't care. So I guess you could say I was center-right.
There you go. Because
that's the position I hold now. I think
you're
people
forever
that don't
a
care,
bad person.
Real. Yeah. Fucking cancel me. I'm just kidding. That shit's corny. But yeah, so I guess you could say I was center-right just by virtue of not caring. Because again, that's how the country leans. That's how the Overton window leans. And I just had felt disenfranchised by it.
Yeah.
Especially like, because like it's something I want to talk about, like, genuinely on the podcast. It's really easy growing up with a single mom to become disenfranchised with the system and fall down, like, right-wing pipelines because of that. I wouldn't say I fell down a right-wing pipeline, but I just didn't care about politics.
Yeah.
And sometimes the Gamergate shit got me, but I didn't pay too much attention to it. I was just like, this is corny and stupid and whatever. But it was the pandemic and all of that stuff that really, like, cemented my turn into the Hassanabi Clip Industrial Complex and becoming leftist. But I honestly think where it really started, I've always watched, like, video essays and shit on YouTube, and a lot of those are very left-leaning. Like, I've always been kind of in BreadTube, adjacent to BreadTube and shit, watching, like, film video essays about that stuff. And I feel like I can pinpoint my fall down, like, a leftist pipeline to one specific moment. And it has to do with the Quarter Pounder.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. When the Joker, do you remember when the Joker came out?
Yeah.
And it either wasn't nominated for best, no, it was nominated for best picture, but it lost best picture to, I can't remember what won that year.
I don't know either. Is that 2019? I don't remember.
I think so. Whatever movie won that year, obviously Joker didn't win best picture.
Yeah.
And Quarter Pounder had a fucking meltdown about it. Like, he fucking had this crazy meltdown. And
Jesus Christ.
God, Vosh, like, made a video about it. And it wasn't a political video at all. It was just kind of a video talking about how ridiculous... Well, obviously it was, like, a political video. It was how ridiculous, like, the quartering was. How ridiculous all this Gamergate shit was. And how ridiculous, like, the Joker is. The Joker being this, like, home for, like, alt-right people. And, like, the movie and shit like that. And I saw that video and I was like, huh. And I guess the algorithm kind of started pushing me in other directions, and here I am today.
Yeah, and it's not. I don't want you all to take this as though, like, you know, the right wing pipeline and the left wing pipeline are like somehow equals.
Oh
this.
Yeah, no.
When we say that, we're kind of just being facetious and joking around because it's not really a left wing pipeline. But also at the same time, it's like discovering content creators in this age, in the digital age, when that's kind of a lot of what consumption is, that can kind of guide you towards thinking critically and objectively about actual political issues is really instrumental for a lot of people. And it certainly was for me. Like I said, I was already kind of on the left, but I didn't really know how to articulate things yet. And learning how to apply a more critical lens to systemic issues and then eventually deciding like, oh, wait, the entire system is fucked.
Yeah.
It kind of helped me go towards being a leftist. And of course, college courses helped me with, you know, all of that stuff as
well. Of course,
well,
college courses made me trans.
Yeah, true.
Of course, true. College courses pushed me into radical gender ideology.
Like, when conservatives get so confused or seemingly act so confused about why young people aren't on the right, it's like, yeah, a million people died during a pandemic while Donald Trump was president, and you just kind of cheered him on. And I mean, what did you expect? And then George Floyd died, and you completely ignored the problem of police brutality.
And then there was a transfer of like $1.4 trillion from the poorest people to the richest people.
Yeah.
It was that during the pandemic that pretty much cemented me as like, yeah, I think I'm a leftist now.
Yeah.
Like, I think this shit's fucked up.
Like, I don't know how you can run defense for the wealthiest people on the planet, ignore all existing issues, and expect young people to be on your side when young people are the ones who are going to have to deal with the ramifications of the choices you're making.
Yeah.
Or of the choices of the leaders that you're supporting are making. It's like, you can't expect them to be on your side. Thank God I'm not, because that'd be,
facts.
A sad, sad life.
Gosh.
Anyway, moving on to I think we're on to some goofy questions.
The goofy patron questions.
Goofy patron questions. You got this first one from Joe?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Joe Stenstrom asks, what's the largest animal you guys think you could beat in a fight, individually and or together?
Okay.
I don't know.
It's a tough question.
This is a really tough question. Animals are strong, right?
This might be one of my favorite questions. I think the strength of animals comes from our fear of them. You know what I'm saying? Some animals are very strong.
I was going to say, because you get into like a chimpanzee. These motherfuckers are strong. I don't think I could beat a chimpanzee in a fight.
I'm not fighting a chimpanzee. I'm not fighting a gorilla, right?
For sure.
Gorillas will come up later.
Gorillas are far from the realm of what we could beat in a fight.
But I think, so I know that I could beat like smaller animals. Like if a wolf is attacking me, I'm beating the shit out of the
wolf. A
wolf? I think I could fight a wolf.
You think you could beat like a wolf?
I think wolf might be faster, but if white wolf bites onto me, I'm swinging. That's all I'm saying.
For real?
Certainly 2v1, we could fight a wolf.
I thought you were going to say something smaller like a rabbit.
A rabbit?
I was I could kick the shit out of a rabbit.
You're selling yourself too short.
I could kick the shit out of a couple of rabbits because, like, I don't know, like a wolf, maybe like a coyote.
Well, I wouldn't want to fight a wolf, to be clear. It would fuck me up.
You're coming out mangled.
But I'm coming out. I'm winning, though.
2v1, you think we could take a wolf?
I think so.
Do we have weapons? Or are we bare hands? Just
if we got weapons, we're winning. Bare hands, I still think I could do it.
You think you could hands up a wolf?
Yeah, I think so.
No way.
I don't know, man. I think we could handle a wolf. Not that I want to.
Like a coyote, for sure.
Yeah.
A coyote or like a small fox.
Not
a
kangaroo.
I think I might be able to
fuck
up.
I'm getting boxed by a kangaroo.
Oh, no. They kill people.
I'm getting mixed up if I fight a kangaroo.
Facts.
You kidding?
Or maybe even like, I saw this fucking video on TikTok earlier of some dude. He was spearfishing for like a yellowfin tuna in the sea. Like diving, and two sharks attacked him, and he fucking boxed them.
That's crazy.
He got tangled up in his own web line, and the sharks came for bites, and he was boxing, and they pulled out a knife, and he was stabbing the sharks.
See, that's crazy.
He won.
He's just like me.
2v1.
That's crazy. The sharks got asked this question and said, we could take a human. A human, like, we got him 2v1, and they couldn't.
That's crazy. I would say, like a coyote is probably, like, the... Or something between like a coyote and a wolf would be the biggest thing I could beat in a fight.
All right, well, fair enough.
Or like a bird.
Yeah, tough.
Like, I feel like an ostrich.
A bird, yeah. They're quick, though. I don't know.
What
I'm not
like
a fucking biologist.
What about like a giraffe?
That bitch is huge. How are you even going to swing? You're not even going to be able to hit its head.
Ah, true. Yeah, I was going to say, you think you like trip the legs?
Get a step from the top rope, elbow drop. Might work.
Bing, bing, bing.
Next question here is from Jeff.
Okay.
Jeff asks us another patron question. If you could sleep with any celebrity, male or female, dead or alive, who would they be? And I said, I know you boys like ladies, but I want to know who your man crushes as well.
This guy's dad.
Absolutely. Your father.
This guy's dad.
Your father. That's the question. Moving on. Next question.
Virgilaki asks, if you had the ability to prevent or cause a historical event to take us all out of this hellish timeline, what would you do or change? I would train John Hinckley to have better aim.
Interesting that your first answer isn't like, I would stop the Holocaust.
Yeah, wow.
I feel like that's like the knee-jerk reaction.
Let me try to think about this one for a second.
I would stop M&M's from taking the Go-Go boots away. Because that's the worst thing to happen to us, truthfully.
What's something that happened? I would probably stop the Civil Rights Act from being passed.
100%.
No, I can't think of the obvious answer is World War II, the Holocaust. I would make the guy in World War I that said that he spared Hitler.
Yeah,
I'd make him kill him.
I would have walked up right behind him.
No, I wouldn't even walk up. It'd be like for all the Attack on Titan fans here. It'd be like when Aaron was talking to his dad from the future. Mm-hmm. I'd be in there. I'd be like, do it.
Yeah. Or there was, what was it? It was I think it was right before World War I. I want to say, I don't know the history completely.
Oh, the fucking, the guy that shot the guy at the parade?
Not even just that, but I think it was the German Workers' Party voting to go into World War I, kind of ceding all their power to the state.
Oh.
Because I think leading up to either World War I or, no, it had to have been World War I because Nazis were in charge before World War II. So leading up to World War I, in Germany, Marxist ideologues had a lot of power growing.
Uh-huh.
And eventually they ceded their power to the state to start World War I. Which was kind of a big turning point in Europe because people thought, oh, the workers of the world are never going to fight against each other. Because we know that wars are just working men killing each other. Like, they're not going to vote to do that. And then they voted to do that. Nationalism won the day over, I don't know, collective communism. And that was a big hinge point.
I would burn down the Library of Alexandria twice.
Oh, for sure.
I would burn down whatever the next equivalent of the Library of Alexandria would have been.
I would have made sure that
final
Arab
answer.
Countries did not discover math. We are not having algebra, no
sure
geometry.
We did not have Arabic numerals. I hate math.
No, I would have made sure that shit never saw the light of day. Dua asks, what size feet y'all got? Asking for a friend.
Oh, I'm
as
like
long
a,
as you're asking for a friend.
I'm like a 9, 9.5.
Oh, I'm like a 15, 16.
I'm actually, shit, it's low-key. I got to order my shoes online, special order.
You could probably approximate. You try to guess based on the video.
If you want to get me some shoes.
Yeah, for real.
Like 9, 9.5.
All right, next question. Moving on.
Okay. Using 5 words or less, write a new slogan for the USA. That should go on money, government buildings, etc.
Head in the Office podcast. It's 5. Let's
That's
go.
That's great. Let's perfect. Fuck yeah. Let's go, baby.
Next one's from Anonymous. Would you rather jerk off a gorilla or be jerked off by a gorilla? Both options are fucking horrible.
I feel like you ever see a picture of like gorilla's hands?
Huge.
Huge and like rough.
Yeah.
Coarse, I would imagine.
I don't know if I could handle that.
It looks like leather.
Yeah.
Like cracked up leather that you have on like a really old like case, you know.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that hurt.
Yeah, I don't think I can do this. I mean, the first one's kind of crazy though. Jerk off a gorilla.
That's kind of crazy.
But like I don't think I could do the opposite, you know.
But like I don't want to be hurt.
Yeah.
I don't want to be hurt.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think the answer's clear here when you really think about it.
Yeah.
Get on my Jane Goodall shit and then some. You know what I'm saying?
I do what I got to do to survive.
I do.
Look,
it's
a would you rather. I can't opt out. I got to choose one.
Killing yourself is not an option.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Next one.
Next one. Fuck, marry, kill. Joe Manchin. Wait.
Oh.
Nope. Sorry. When are you guys? Oh, no. Fuck.
We're on Cincy Alex.
You know I can't read.
You really can't.
You find out you're the actual long-lost son of a love affair between Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher. What's the first thing that you would do?
Bag. I'm getting the bag.
I was about to say, I'm accessing chasing. Generational wealth.
Exactly. I'm getting a building named after
myself.
I'm
using those connections to do nefarious, mischievous, mm-hmm. and dubious things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, if I find out that I'm, like, their kid, and if I'm, like, accepted, like, if people are like, oh, yeah, that's his kid. You know,
that's
like,
his kid.
Like we acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And then I have access to all those networks. I'm going crazy.
Can you imagine how much like the Republican Party would love me?
Oh, for real.
Oh my goodness. I'm getting in the royal family.
It'd be like JFK Jr. Everything. Came back to life.
Oh my God.
Like I didn't die in that plane crash. I'm here now.
So much.
Collecting
so much.
In the bag. That's what I'm doing. The Fed asks, When are you guys going to do your Fed reveal? I have bets placed on your badge numbers.
Is this like an over-under situation? Like you've got like 8, 9, 9, 2, 3 over-under.
I'm going to have to take the under on that one.
I'm going to have to take the under too. Knowing my badge number. Oh, shit. Next question.
Going back to the personal pod questions.
Yeah, that wraps up all the patron questions. That's now we're getting to the regular people questions.
Wallace asks, how long have y'all known each other?
Since
ninth grade history.
Ninth grade history. So that's
crazy.
Is that 8 years?
Wow, that's a long time.
That's nuts.
Damn.
Well, that's nuts.
There's your answer, Wallace.
First hour freshman year.
That's right. 6 a.m. or 7 a.m.
7:20 a.m.
Learn about world history.
World history class. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, God. Have you read the Maya asks, have you read The Divider? And if so, is it worth reading?
Haven't read it.
I'm illiterate.
So that's a no.
Shit.
Read it for yourself, Maya. I'm sorry.
It might be worth reading. the jury's still out on that one. I am sorry.
Yeah. Next one's from Isaac. Isaac asks, what kind of music do you listen to?
Have I been waiting for a question like this?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my
Gage got his recommendations
oh
ready.
Oh, my goodness. I'm loading up the albums in my head. Fun fact, before I get into the answer, if you incentivize people to join, if you join the Discord, actually, when Spotify Rap Day dropped, I dropped my Spotify Wrapped in one of our, like, the Leftist Jams from Music Spam's channel. We all dropped our Spotify Wraps. We were all talking about it. And I ended up joining a Hitto blend on Spotify with a bunch of people.
I didn't even know this happened.
It all happened in the Discord. It blended, like, I guess blends on Spotify you can do with, like, friends. Mm-hmm. And you can just, like, enter them. You can join them. And it'll blend all your, like, music tastes together. And every once in a while, I still come back and listen to it. And it shows you, like, whose song this profile came from.
Oh, shit.
It's pretty gas. I think only 5 of us are in it right now. And you can have, like, 10 there. So I guess it's a race to go.
This is an official sponsorship of
this is officially,
album.
Like, the Hitto blend that we have going on. But I guess if we're talking about what music I listen to, we got the big, we got rap, indie, and R&B, mm-hmm. pretty much. Like, the new Metro Boomin' Banks, Lana Del Rey bangs, naturally.
Yeah.
Indie women bang.
Yeah. I haven't been, I'm not very, like, musically literate, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not, like, a big music guy or anything like that, but I've been listening to Metro Boomin. The album slaps.
So good.
I'm a big fan of that
the
album.
The Metro Boomin
really
album is so good. The Smino album is so good.
Yep, Smino.
Oh, my God. Future's album last year was so good.
That's
Denzel
right.
Curry's album. Did you ever listen to Saba's new album?
Yeah.
So
great.
Good.
That
one's
great.
God.
So that's a little taste.
Join the Discord and we can chat about it.
That's right. Next one, Alden.
Next one. Alden asks, if you don't mind sharing, what's the most putrid thing y'all have done?
Start a podcast.
Honestly, real. So I am more embarrassed to tell people I started a podcast than I am to do, like, things that would be conventionally embarrassing.
Look, man, I know that we just dunked on people saying, like, oh, we should start a podcast, like, quoting us, but I fall victim to social standards too.
Absolutely. Despite having like 37,000 followers on TikTok, almost 38,000, mm-hmm. right? Over 1.2 million likes, like,
yeah.
Achieving a level of success. Like, it's not a huge level, but it's like a level of success doing like online content creation.
We were like top 5% of all podcasts,
exactly.
According to
I'm still
Spotify.
Fucking embarrassed to be like, yeah, I have a podcast, but like,
you guys should listen.
You guys, it's like not bad though.
I actually just started having the courage to like tell people that, oh yeah, I have a podcast, you should check it out.
For real?
One person specifically asked me like about my political takes, like where I am on the political spectrum, and they said they wanted to get more into politics, and I was like, oh, well, I have this. So that was like the first time, other than like family members, that I've been
for sure.
You should check this out. This is what I do. So I don't know. We're earning confidence here.
Like I tell some of my friends that I like some of my biochem friends at school, like, oh yeah, I've got a podcast, like this goes on, this. But like, I can't drop it in casual conversation yet. I'm not there.
We'll get him there one day.
Exactly.
The next question is, what's the story behind the Hitto opening theme? Who recorded it? An absolute banger, if I do say so myself. This is from Nate Campbell.
We were trying to find some royalty-free music.
Yeah.
And there's actually a YouTube music library where they have like music that YouTube licensed out that you're just allowed to use, and it's free use. You can use it on any platform. And I just kind of scrolled on there for like an hour till I found something. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, dunk.
Yeah.
This bangs.
This one bangs pretty hard. And if there's anyone listening that ever wants to like use their music skills and make us an intro that we can use,
fantastic.
Mix in some of our craziest lines, we would definitely
like the
think about using
DMG intro.
That. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I know,
oh, yeah.
Like, Fear and Mobbing, when that used to be a thing, had an intro of Will Neff and Hassan Piker's voices combined into the intro.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone ever wanted to do that for us, we would definitely consider using it.
That would
be pretty cool.
And consider sending some money your way.
Exactly.
Possibly. Exactly. Possibly. Exactly. Next question from Anand. Have you guys ever received personal hate comments or online threats because of the pod?
I don't think I've ever received like direct, like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Type shit.
I don't think we've ever received like threats,
but we've gotten a lot of hate comments.
Oh my God. So many, so many.
If any of you have ever looked at some of our more popular Instagram reels or our YouTube shorts, which is a thing that we also upload,
yep.
We get degraded in those.
Oh my God. It's crazy. On TikTok, every once in a the hate comments on TikTok aren't that crazy.
Not as crazy as I thought.
I think the algorithm has firmly cemented us in like leftist niches.
Yeah.
And our videos usually blow up within those spaces. So even the ones that blow up, we don't get like crazy hate.
Yeah.
We get some people like arguing, but they're not like my favorite hate comment that I've ever personally received is someone said I look like the Soyjack meme. And I was like, fuck, dude, you're right. Like,
that's tough. Yeah. We get all kinds of hate comments. People making fun of us. We get called soy a lot.
Yeah.
And it's kind of goofy shit, but like,
but it's like, it comes with the territory. It doesn't really bug me.
I think after like the first little bit, the first few rounds of like finally getting some notoriety and people hating on us a bit, I kind of just shrugged it off.
And we also get a lot more love.
True.
Which is wild. I thought it was going to be the opposite.
Focus on the positivity.
That's the motto.
Exactly. Next one from Emma, the Canadian one.
Ew. You
know how we feel about Canada. But Emma left us a question.
Okay.
She said, how did you guys know what majors you wanted to do at university?
That's crazy. I still don't, really.
Yeah.
I'm
actually still considering.
I'm undecided
major.
You see, this is a deeper question than you thought, because I'm actually at a crisis right now trying to figure out what I want to do with the rest of my life. Mm. And I originally went in as like a nursing major, right? Because I was like, I could do nursing, like something healthcare related. But then I found out I'm too disabled to Ooh. Be a nurse, right? Mm. So I was like, maybe I'm not disabled enough to be a doctor, though. Because they'd be sitting sometimes.
They'd be taking a seat.
And so I switched my major to biochem because I figured that like working in drug development, everything wouldn't be fine. And I just kind of picked something that I had a vague interest in. Do I regret it? Kinda.
Mm.
Yeah, but that's something
Should've been a poli-sci kid.
Real. I guess that's something I'll find out more of when I get a real job and see if I hate getting a real person job.
See, and I don't know how it works in Canada. But the problem with one of the very many problems with American university is that it's so high stakes.
Oh, yeah.
And even if colleges tell you that, like, some colleges will be like, oh, first 2 years, you can be undecided. That's fine. And a lot of colleges will say that. But there's still this, like, looming threat of, I need to figure out what I'm going to do forever.
Yeah.
And if I choose something useless, quote unquote useless, then I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting money. And there's always this feeling as though, oh, I'm going to waste a ton of money by not getting something that's, like, 1,000,000% practical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm in poli sci, so you can imagine where this critique is coming from. And I have a minor in philosophy as well, but I chose something that interested me, obviously, because we do a politics podcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I'm I always am aware of the fact that like it's not an entirely tangible degree.
Yeah.
And I can't like walk in anywhere and get a job with it. Although philosophy majors actually they do look pretty good on resumes.
But they get a lot of good jobs.
Regardless, I think if you're going into university, especially in America, again, I don't know how it works in Canada, just do something you like that you're not going to want to die while
For
doing.
Real.
And you can figure it out on the back end.
Like I would argue you need a bit more than like a vague interest in order to not want to like fucking kill yourself while you're going through your undergrad. Cause this shit sucks. Like I don't really like biochemistry. It's okay. It's okay enough for me to work in it. But I originally wanted to be a film major, but I said, that's not going to get me a job.
Dang. It would have got you a pretty fire studio setup.
True. Oh fuck. If only I would have known, if only I could have had future sight,
the future
to
sight,
see forward and we could have just committed to this. But yeah, it's tough out here.
Yeah.
But pick something that you could see yourself like doing.
Yeah, it gets really annoying hearing people say literally all the time, like, oh, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
Just do something you're interested in. And once you get into the field, once you get your first job in the field, no one's ever going to look at your major again.
Oh, no.
It's not going to matter.
Not at all. It really only matters to get your first job.
Yeah. And focus on enjoying your time. Don't stress yourself out too much. Obviously, some people don't have a luxury of like not working during college.
Yeah.
A lot of people, including myself, have to like do a job in order to afford college and figure out, you know, come up with clever ways to pay for tuition. But as long as you can't enjoy it, just pick something you like.
For real.
Know? And have a good time. Figure it out later.
Chill. Most people get jobs after college, no matter what they major in.
Exactly.
Like, it always feels worse while you're in college because there's so much pressure going on. Like, I got to get these internships. I got to go to these career fairs for the specific major. But most people work outside their major.
And I think, it's important to remember that you might end up working outside your major, but if you had like an experience and you learned things, then it's not a waste.
Oh, no, not
like,
at all.
Money is gone, and some majors aren't going to make you the most money in the world, certainly. But as long as you had a good time and you had like a human experience, I think that should be celebrated.
Big facts. And it's also like, I feel like you really don't need to worry what your major is if you don't want to do something highly technical.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to do something highly technical, like, be a fucking biochemist. Like, you're not going to be able to take an English degree and go do that.
Right.
But if you want to work at a company doing something, you could have an English degree.
Oh, yeah.
You can have an English degree and work your way into these positions around a company, you know?
And it's like, engineering degrees, STEM degrees, they're very important. We need people that know how to keep the lights on, keep the electricity running. But if you're not one of those people, there's no such thing as a useless degree.
Real.
Go and pursue what you want.
We need the arts.
Yeah, there's culturally important degrees and, things that you can pursue that will still enrich society as a whole. They may not deliver as much money, but this idea that some degrees are just useless, that some knowledge areas are just useless to pursue, like English or gender studies or some form of humanities or something like that, that's just capitalist dogma. And it's like there's more to life than what's going to just produce money. And I think a lot of people forget about that. And it's hard to, because your survival depends on your ability to make money. But in terms of people that will like join the culture war and say that, your degree is useless, they don't know what they're talking about. They're stupid.
Like again, I don't know how it is in Canada, but if in Canada there's this huge like emphasis on like STEM shit like there is here, there's this huge emphasis on practicality like there is here, I would argue when picking your major, from my experience, emphasize what you personally like a little bit more than you think you should.
Yeah.
Because that's how you're going to have the best experience and how you're going to have a better experience.
Agreed.
Agreed. Next question from Sam M. How did you engage to become friends? The show.
Yeah. Oh, Sam is talking to me.
Shit.
So I guess that's a question for Jeremy. I also like how it says, if you are friends outside of the show. I fucking hate this guy.
We don't talk outside of the show, actually.
I actually don't know who this guy is. I guess it was ninth grade history class, and then we kind of just ended up in the same circles.
Yeah, first hour. I think it was like the homecoming game freshman year.
Yeah.
We had like mutual friends.
Uh-huh.
This dude Ryan's a goofball.
Yeah, we got Gots a goofball. Yeah. Maybe they'll come on the show one day.
Facts.
If we can censor them enough.
if we can put them on enough of a leash.
Yeah, exactly. next one, also from Sam. Sam asks, have either of you ever been conservative?
No. Again, I was apolitical, which I'd argue is a little conservative, but I've never been like, I really like Mitt Romney.
Right, yeah. I mean, I kind of grew up around some conservative family members, but I don't think I was ever old enough to understand.
No, definitely not.
And then when I was like, I don't know about that.
So, exactly. Yeah. When my brain developed a bit more, I was like, capitalism is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, me neither, man.
Yeah.
Next one. Also from Sam.
What are your future plans for the pod? Hito Extended Universe.
Future plans for the pod. Get picked up by the biggest media conglomerate on the world.
Make more fucking money. bags of money.
Get bought out for like $6 billion.
Real.
$6 billion.
No less.
Exactly. And then maybe continue. But like my interest will be so skewed at that point that
my class interest will be so skewed that this becomes an entirely different pod.
That's what I'm saying. Like I'm just going with the winds of history. Like it's not my fault.
Yeah. And then I don't give a shit anymore.
Exactly.
$6 billion, $3 billion.
Exactly. Next one. What's your favorite podcast? Do you see Hito as having any rivals or arch nemesis?
Oh, everybody.
Yeah.
It's me versus everyone.
Like those Detroit versus the world.
Detroit versus the world. That's right.
My favorite podcast other than Hito, because Hito's number one.
Exactly.
Number one geopolitics, number one in my heart, number one everywhere. I don't know. It goes back and forth, but probably like Chapo. Chapo's probably my favorite.
I was
going to
say,
one.
Probably Chapo. Usually in my rotation, when Fear and Malding was going, listened to the new Fear and yet, just because I haven't had a lot
of
time.
It's not politics.
Oh, it's not politics?
Mm-hmm. I think it's more just like pop culture stuff. They have different guests on all the time.
Oh.
Sometimes they had the Chapo boys on once, and that was pretty political.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They had Ezra Klein on, and that was Ethan Klein. Ezra Klein's a journalist. They had Ethan Klein on, and that was pretty political because they were
talking about Leftovers was pretty political.
Andrew Tate stuff, yeah. But I think it just depends on the guest, but a lot of the time it's not politics. Yeah,
I did really like Fear and Malding.
I did too.
Chapo is probably my favorite though.
Yeah.
I fucks with Chapo.
Some people don't like Chapo. Understandable, but
that
I
is
like it.
Totally understandable.
Chapo's hard to get into, especially now because they have so many jokes that don't make sense if you haven't listened
they're
for a long time.
They're so self-referential.
Yeah.
It's wild. And it's not even like they're self-referential and they be pulling the most obscure references to like mid-2000s political events just out of their ass all the time. And I'm like, what is going on?
Like 1980s films.
Exactly. like the only reason I was able to like get into it is because I spent, there was like two summers ago, the summer before we started the podcast, I started listening to Chapo and I started listening to like Acid Marxist. I didn't even listen to Chapo. Uh-huh. It was the Acid Marxist YouTube channel that posted all their clips and I would just go through and just listen to them while I like worked on shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So Arch Nemesis though, I don't know about Arch Nemesis. We don't got any rivals just yet. Maybe
just
one day.
Yet. Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll have some. And also with Chapo specifically, it's like, I think that might be kind of why I try to like over explain things almost each time we have like a new episode recurring topic is because I don't want someone to tune in to, you know, episode 80 something and then they don't know what we're talking about because we already went over arguments in a previous episode. Mm-hmm.
That's
I
why
try
we
to
repeat
refresh.
Our arguments so much.
Yeah.
Because like I feel like every episode there's like a repeated argument and sometimes I get anxious about that because I'm like, our old listener is going to be annoyed about this, but I hope not.
Especially with abortion stuff. We had to repeat a lot with abortion
stuff. But y'all are still here, so.
Exactly.
And we're still growing, so I think we're chilling. We're chilling. Next question. Unofficial Hitto slogans. Probably putrid, maybe.
Putrid, yeah. Maybe just the word putrid. Got putrid. That's not copyrighted. I don't know.
Sometimes, my brother in Christ.
If it's unofficial, then we can't be the ones that come up with it. It's got to be somebody else.
Community poll.
Yeah, community poll.
Join the Discord.
Hitto slogan. As soon as you guys hear this, start thinking about Hitto slogans. That's your job.
Thanks.
This next one is from Manny. These ones are from Instagram. Okay. We put a little Q&A thing up on Instagram. Manny asks, what made you guys want to start the podcast? I'm surprised nobody asked that so far.
Yeah.
You'd think that'd be the first question we got.
Shit. We said, maybe we're a little goofy. Maybe we're a little silly. Maybe we run through the world with whimsy.
Exactly. A first episode, people were telling us, you guys got good chemistry, good banter.
Yeah, maybe we talk with a specific cadence and the banter's good and everything. And we're like, hey, let's take this out the PlayStation party.
Exactly.
We successfully made it out the PlayStation party onto an actual microphone.
That's real. Also, it was just trying to make politics more accessible to the average person, explaining political concepts in a very simple way that people that listen to podcasts may not usually get. Because a lot of podcasts are either fucking conservative, which isn't helpful,
misogynistic,
or violently misogynistic. I found they just aren't very. They're either like liberal, conservative, or they just don't fully get into why you should be on the left, I guess.
Yeah.
And further left than liberals. And that's kind of the space we wanted to occupy while speaking in very accessible ways.
Yeah.
In ways that didn't alienate people or make people confused. So that's the kind of niche we're trying to occupy, I guess.
Big facts. Lalo asks, what's the meaning of life?
Making money,
stacking bread, Hello, podcast. Racks.
Podcast, yeah.
Podcasts.
Being cool.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of being happy.
Maybe. I don't know about that one, though.
No.
Might not be necessary.
No.
Morgan asks, what do you guys plan on doing after graduation? Why would you ask
I wish
that?
I knew.
How dare you?
I think about this one every night before I go while I'm lying in bed.
Haunts you?
With graduation 3 months away, I sit there like, that's
with graduation,
crazy.
The album being made by Kanye West. What can I say? That's a great question.
What do I do after graduation? Say, that was gas.
Yeah, exactly. I made graduation. Last personal question here. You got
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Cade, is the pod name a joke about Bill Clinton? Yes.
That's for you to decide, I think.
Yeah.
Artistic interpretation.
No comment.
Yeah.
We'll leave it up for you. We'll leave it up to you.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a clear answer here.
Moving on to our political questions, not from patrons.
Yes.
Our first one here is from Wallace. Wallace asks, do either of you believe that voting for damage reduction is, what does this say? Oh, do either of you believe that voting for damage reduction is better long term and why?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what other option do we really have?
It's damage reduction or accelerationism.
Exactly.
And accelerationism is bad because things don't have to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, things can get better now. With accelerationism, you're like, we're going to make it really bad right now so that people see, so that they understand but not everyone is going to see, because you could argue that things are really bad right now. Income inequality is at some of the highest it's like ever been, right? Billionaires are walking around with more wealth than kings, and people who are struggling and living paycheck to paycheck will defend those billionaires that will do nothing for them and actively try to hurt them with policy.
And I mean, in part, you could argue because of that is maybe in part because of political apathy. Right?
Yeah.
Like people becoming more and more disconnected from politics kind of gives politicians and billionaires, capitalists, the green light to do whatever they want uncontested. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, they've been able to do that. But I think so. There's really two frames of thinking for this, at least when it comes to like theoretical concepts. The anarchist might argue that the state is an embodiment of capital, right? The creation of the modern state, the liberal democracy as we understand it today, stems from the capitalist mode of production and acts only to hold capitalism and this kind of twisted version of democracy together, right? Two concepts that are incompatible generally. Mm-hmm. And that is certainly true to some extent, but the other view would be that that's true, but the state can still be manipulated in a way to produce beneficial or at least progressive outcomes for us as a whole.
Yeah.
And we got to believe the second one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's like, what, fuck, we just sit around and wait until we can overthrow the state and take control of production? Like, that just like, doesn't seem possible.
To apply it to real world examples, again, everything that happened with Roe v. Wade, if people weren't voting for damage reduction, if people weren't trying to vote to have a less conservative Senate or a Democratic majority, then abortion protections would just be gone.
Yeah.
And that's like something that's like, should be a fundamental right to women just stripped away because people didn't want to vote for the damage reduction.
Right. And that's definitely true with like state referendums.
Yeah.
In Michigan, like if you didn't turn out to vote for that ballot measure and that would have failed, then like people's rights are just taken away.
Exactly.
Like you got to vote and you got to vote for damage reduction in some capacities. And I think it's necessary.
It's like, yeah, I don't think that damage reduction on its own is very good. It has to be paired with the grassroots action on the ground. It has to be paired with building a movement on the ground. And that's what we're trying to do.
Exactly.
But I do think that it definitely helps.
Yeah. I think it was Noam Chomsky that said something along the lines of just treat it as any other form of activism.
Yeah.
Like you show up once a day to vote, cast your vote for the correct people and policies, and then move on back to your organizing and doing other things.
Yeah.
And part of that is certainly media getting the message across. And that's what we're here for.
Hey, yo.
That's what we do.
Hey, yo.
Next one from May.
Next question from May. Are there any books you recommend reading about different structures of society through a leftist point of view? I need somewhere to start to gain a better understanding on the way a society runs under, say, socialism, communism, etc.
So when it comes to how socialism or communism runs, I don't know how you would really find much information on that out of...
I don't know.
There's not very many theorists, at least around the time of Marx, that had a good idea of how communism was going to work.
And it hasn't
really happened on Earth yet. So
I feel like any of the books that are claiming to tell you how socialism or communism runs, like functions within a state right now, are all right wing, telling you why it doesn't work.
True. Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure there are some good like leftist theorists out there that have some good ideas, but I think it's just kind of impossible to know at the moment.
Yeah.
Obviously a more democratic version of the economy needs to happen, but there's tons and tons of debate between, various leftist groups that will, you know, some will say the state needs to go away entirely. Some will say, you know, all of it's up to the market, some sort of market socialism. Yeah. It's just hard to know. But if you want to like look into leftist critiques, one book I would recommend is by, this author named Astra Taylor. She wrote a book called, Democracy Doesn't Exist, But We'll Miss It When It's Gone. It's a very good understanding of how democracy, freedom, and the economy all interact with each other, and ultimately why capitalism and democracy are just incompatible ideas. Well, they just don't work together in their true forms. And that's one I would recommend if you want like a tangible thing to go read.
Let's go.
Yeah, there you go.
Shout out that book.
Exactly. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it. Next one from Alden. Alden asks, what's the most wild take that you will defend until the end of time?
See, this question is crazy because I feel like I've dropped all my crazy takes on the pod already.
Yeah.
I struggle to think of a take that could be like anything too crazy for me to not have wanted to spit before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that I have. See, anytime someone's like, what's your hottest take? I struggle to think of something.
It's like yeah. It's like when someone on the street asks you just like really quick, name a woman. And you're like,
Well, it's like, what is a hot take, you know? Like, because like, relatively, if I'm in a room full of conservatives, then all of my takes are hot.
I was going to say, the takes I drop here are takes that I don't drop with many other people.
Yeah, but if like, you know, I'm on the podcast or I'm talking to other leftist friends, then none of them are going to think my takes are all that hot.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd have a take that is like hot universally, you know, objectively hot take.
That's facts. That's facts.
Maybe I'll think of one and follow
up. Within leftist circles, honestly, I feel like our takes on like damage reduction are our hottest takes.
Yeah. Or like our takes on not letting Putin just destroy Ukraine.
True.
And unreasonably hot for some reason.
Yeah.
Among some people.
Yeah. It just, I guess it depends on the circles you're in. But sorry, I can't really answer this one.
Yeah. Sorry. We're not answering. I refuse.
Yeah. Yeah. Next one from Grace. As a fellow Michigander, I'm curious to know what politically is your favorite and least favorite part of living in Michigan.
Least favorite, seeing Confederate flags up north. That shit's ridiculous.
Huge facts. Nowhere close to the South. I don't even think there was fighting anywhere around here.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
We like sent people.
To fight on
the Union side. You know what I mean? not for the Confederates. And then favorite part, I don't know. I think once you get further south in Michigan, it's a very diverse place. Places like Ferndale, places like Detroit.
The Detroit cool area, places, the surrounding yeah. area around Detroit.
Lots of cool places, yeah. And not just diverse in terms of like demographics, but diverse in like just how everything looks.
Cultures.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Detroit's a pretty cool place.
Yeah.
You've got like a bunch of different, like your Greek towns and shit, all that. The Greek festivals in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Shit like that. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
What's not cool, though, is Capital Flight out of Detroit.
Yeah, what's not cool is how Capital Flight has kind of destroyed the city Flint as well. Another thing that's not cool is Rick Scott and his, or Rick Snyder.
Rick Snyder.
Former
and
governor. His whole governorship that was going on.
Put him in jail.
On God.
Next one from Maya. As children, were you taught that racism wasn't a thing? And if so, how did you unlearn that?
I wasn't really taught that racism wasn't a thing, but I
think it's more of just like ingrained in you as you're growing up that it's kind of a settled problem.
It's ingrained into you that this is a settled thing. Like this is, you're even taught in schools that like the Civil Rights Act ended racism.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I always had like the bit of an inkling that was like, oh, the racism that I saw, like my mom and my grandma experienced being like Vietnamese mm-hmm. and the racism that I would hear about, like how one day, when my mom and her siblings were kids, one of the teachers who taught my my uncle called up my grandma like after school hours and started berating her for being Vietnamese.
Oh wow!
And for killing Americans in the war. And it's like, whoa, now that's a little crazy.
I'm an American. Like,
so it's like there have been things like that that I guess definitely helped me critically analyze racism now mm-hmm. and not fall into traps that I feel like I otherwise could have more easily. But I don't think I was necessarily taught that racism wasn't a thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think it's more of just social conditioning to believe that racism's kind of settled.
Yeah.
And then now the only problem is interpersonal racism. And that's a thing that we kind of just can't do anything about except educate.
Yeah.
I reject that idea generally because there's certainly still systemic factors that contribute or just remain unresolved mm-hmm. in terms of systemic racism. And that took a long time to learn because it's a complex topic. Once you get it, it's easy to explain. Like, but
genuinely, I feel like the easiest way to like... I guess it's not really easy, but the easiest way to like deprogram a lot of racist thinking is just spending time thinking about sociology.
Yeah.
If you're in college, take an inequality course.
Yeah,
things
those
like
will,
that.
Those will
help, like
yeah.
it's shit like that. Thinking about sociology, spending time with sociological concepts, getting your critical thinking up.
Yeah.
Broadly.
Listening to the pod.
Listening to the pod number one.
Yeah.
Number one.
Next question from Thomas. You got this one?
I got this one. Do you guys have any thoughts on the focus on road infrastructure repair? Good example is probably Governor Whitmer's focus on it in Michigan. I get that road conditions suck big time, having driven on them, but can't help but wonder if it'd be more helpful for these places to do more to support and add transit infrastructure that's more varied and has less maintenance required. Thanks for the work you put in. Love the show.
Thomas, my friend, you are on the right track.
That's right.
Because that is the exact right answer. I mean, it comes down to one, obviously, is like the mix of the correct materials to make sustainable roads that don't just immediately crack in the wintertime.
Yeah.
But it's also just having them be driven on less. Mm-hmm. And that can only really happen with public transit.
Oh,
it's really
sure.
the only option.
I definitely like to see more of a move towards public transit. But in the meantime, I guess pretty happy with the focus on road infrastructure because it genuinely is a huge issue in a place like Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Where weather changes so fucking much, where one week it'll be 70 degrees, then the next day it'll be fucking 10.
yeah,
with snow.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have and like, a thing where I think, like, I guess conservatives fail and people generally fail to think about is you cannot have consistent road conditions, consistently good mm-hmm. road conditions in a climate like this because of the way water expands when it freezes.
Yeah.
So anytime there's a crack in the concrete, every time shit freezes, it's just going to get bigger and bigger. But I would overall like to see a bigger move towards public transit, better yeah. public transit options. But I'm also willing to admit that that's really hard in a place like Michigan, especially if you don't live like near this, like Detroit
yeah.
or Ann Arbor, you don't live in a dense place. Like, public transit is kind of a hard option to do
yeah.
when it's not dense enough to actually like be moving people all the time.
Right. And it's not really an option just to pack everyone into a city.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you, like exactly. tangibly, practically, there's no real way to do that. But yeah, generally, I mean, focusing on the roads being better because they are a public utility of sorts and focusing on public transit, an actual public utility, mm-hmm. then like, yeah, I mean, both good things, both things that should be pursued.
When the roads are bad, it just hurts poor people more.
Yeah.
It just fucks up your car.
Exactly. Exactly. Next question from Sam. Favorite story you look forward to covering in the new year?
What are some stories coming up this year? Probably Republican primaries. It's got to be Republican primaries. No div.
That's got to be the number one story. Because that's going to be evolving over and over.
It's
going
to be so fun. I can't wait to see who's running.
Especially if it's not just DeSantis versus Trump. Oh my God.
Well,
it's gonna be
DeSantis
insane.
Versus Trump versus Bolton.
Oh. Can't forget about my campaign to be Jolton for Bolton. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I mean, it's got to be Republican primaries. I can't think of anything else that's really like coming up that's going to be that exciting.
That's facts.
That'd be a really good time.
Next, Jordan asks, if you had to be a politician or a journalist, no other options, which would you choose? Probably a journalist.
Yeah.
Probably a journalist.
That's the thing is like, I remember back a while ago, some people were like, oh, Tucker Carlson's going to run for president. It's like, why would he ever say, like, he has the best job ever.
Oh, yeah. He gets on TV, bitches for an hour every night.
And then goes home and he's rich.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to ever do anything. Doesn't have to put work in. Doesn't have to hold himself to certain principles. All he's got to do is talk. That sounds great.
And it's, like, also crazy considering Tucker Carlson just, like, as a person. Because he didn't have to do any of that anyway. Like, he's doing it because, like, for fun.
Yeah.
He's already the heir to the Swanson TV dinner fortune.
Like, if you were able to be, like, really effective as a politician and actually get things done, obviously you'd want structure. Change to happen
for
more
sure.
than just like your own comfort, and that would be great. But because of how broken our political system is, it's just hard to imagine that, you know, one good person getting into office will change everything.
Yeah.
But of course, then again, it's still good to have good people rather than bad people. So
facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah.
I think just like the way I'm personally built, journalist. Mm-hmm. Journalist would be a better life.
Investigative journalist, you're going to Romania. Talking to the tits.
I am Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
I'm hiding from the CIA.
All right, moving on to our last set of questions here. The goofy ones.
Oh, yeah.
Our non-patron questions, starting with Aaron. Marry, fuck, kill, Joe Manchin, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell.
I think there's a clear answer here. I think it's kill Mitch McConnell, fuck Joe Manchin, marry Nancy Pelosi.
I think that's the correct answer.
I think that's the 100% correct answer here.
You gotta marry Nancy Pelosi because she's like the richest member of Congress.
Exactly.
Or one of the richest members of Congress. Indisputably, you gotta marry her.
And come on, if we're being real here, 80 years old.
That's what I was thinking too. Inheritance is right around the corner.
Come on now. I would not have to be in this deal for that long.
Each of these people are very old, but at the very least, I could get a nice cozy place in where she represents? San Francisco or some shit?
So, oh, yeah, in California. Mild climate.
Mm-hmm.
I could do well there.
Yeah, exactly.
I could do well there. Mitch
I think
McConnell,
I might thrive there.
I wouldn't want to spend any time with him. Joe Manchin, I could be there for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
I'm thinking so.
I can interact with him for 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Nancy, I'm sure I could find something to talk about.
Yeah.
A lot of married people hate each other anyway, so.
That's so true.
I think we'd do well. I think we'd do well.
I would agree.
Hmm.
Next question is, we already answered this one, so we can skip that one.
True,
another fuck, marry, kill.
Ah. Elon Musk, Andrew Tate, or Ron DeSantis?
Mm-hmm.
See, now this one's way more tough.
I mean, it's marry Elon Musk.
Marry Elon
Bro's
Musk
got
for
billions.
The money.
I mean, he is kind of insane, but like if I had to, I mean,
you know,
it's money.
Honestly, yeah, if we're marrying Elon Musk, then I think it's going to have to be
kill
fuck
Andrew,
Andrew
Tate.
Tate.
Whoa.
Oh.
I'm killing Andrew Tate. What is he going to do for me?
Exactly. Like, what is he going to do for you? What's Andrew Tate going to do for you dead? Like, I feel like Ron DeSantis. I feel like I can't say this.
The question goes unresolved. We move on. Next question is from Jonathan Chasis. Jonathan asks,
is it Jonathan Cassis?
Cassis? Oh, yeah, probably Cassis. I always
on the Patreon.
Anyways, Jonathan asks, this is more of a request, but please watch Gutfield. Doing live reactions would make me roll on the floor dying laughing if you did.
I do want to find some Gutfield segments. Yeah. The issue with Gutfield segments, though, is that some of them are just so fucking bad. Mm-hmm. Like, usually when you... If you're looking at things that are good and bad, right, it's usually like kind of like a parabola.
Yeah.
You know, you start off in like, it's good, gets really bad, really bad, really bad. And then there's sort of the trough where something is the most bad it can be. And then it keeps going and it's like so bad it's good.
Regression towards the mean, if you will.
Yeah. I feel like Gutfeld goes beyond it being so bad it's good and it just goes back to being really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to find good segments.
I mean, but now that we have the capability to listen and record at the same time.
We might have to.
Might be a good time to do that. So maybe your request will be honored.
That'll be good. Next one from Saturn. Are y'all, the state of Michigan, accepting new state applicants? I've been a Florida resident for 21 years. Too long, please.
I think we might have closed the doors on applicants. With
us,
our
personally.
Quota.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, we hit that shit like yesterday, so sorry. Yeah. Looks like you missed it.
Great place to live, but it doesn't look like you can come in. Sorry, Saturn. You're going to have to stay where you are, actually. We don't need any more Floridians up here. Fuck. Next one from Sam. If you could erase one Republican and one Democrat from the House and one Republican and one Democrat from the Senate, who would they be and why?
See, the easy answer would have been Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, but she's not a Democrat anymore.
That's true. And we got to choose one Republican and one Democrat.
Oh, it's one Republican. That's right. No independent representation.
See how easily
I was thinking of Joe as a Republican.
Yeah.
I forgot genuinely that he was a Democrat. I guess it'd have to be
Mitch
McConnell and Joe.
Have to be Mitch and Joe. See, the problem is that we eliminate Joe, then it's just going to be a Republican that comes in at West Virginia. And Kyrsten Sinema's not an option anymore.
True.
And I don't know anyone else.
All right, I see what you're doing. This dude's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
He put his cap on. Then it's got to be Mitch and... Who else is insufferable? Maggie Hassan?
Yeah, one of the more moderates, probably.
Yeah, one of the people that voted no on the $15 minimum wage. You can throw any of them in there and it's chilling.
And then in the House, a Republican and a Democrat. I'm keeping George Santos.
I'm keeping Marjorie Taylor Greene.
See, I'm keeping the Freedom Caucus folks together, the Never Kevins.
I'm removing Kevin just because it would be funny.
Yeah.
He finally got used to the speaker again. I'm taking him out.
And then Democrat, probably that one moderate that keeps voting for anti-abortion things, which is named Henry Cuellar or whatever. Fuck that guy.
Yes, the guy from Texas, representative from Texas, the last anti-abortion
Democrat. He was the
Democrat.
One Democrat that voted for that Born Alive Act that we talked about on the episode.
Love that.
Previous episode.
That's so fun.
Yeah, he's awful.
This next one?
Next one's from Flicky570. Flicky asks, dinner with Kanye, Trump, or all of Ohio?
Honestly?
All of Ohio's tough. That's a lot of people.
Dinner with Trump, low-key.
Yeah, dinner with Trump. I bet I could convince him of something.
I bet it'd be like a nice dinner, too.
I feel like he's an impressionable guy.
I feel like I'd be wined and dined.
And he would throw his nuggies at the wall if he made him mad. So it's a win-win.
Oh, true. We could get so much good content out of that.
Yeah, that's a lot of good content.
So much good content. And at least he'll get like squeamish if we push.
And like Kanye, that's like optically unacceptable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I don't know if I'd feel safe.
And
around
it's
that
like,
guy.
If I push against Trump, he'd get a little squeamish. Like, but if I push against Kanye, he would just further double down.
Yeah. That'd be scary.
Yeah.
And being around anyone from Ohio is kind of gross.
Awful.
So I'm definitely not going to do that one.
Ew.
Moving on.
Oh God. How the fuck do you,
I don't know how you pronounce that.
Controls. What politician would you like to have a YouTuber-style boxing match with, and why?
See, I feel like I might get put on a watch list for this.
I was about to say something that I realized I couldn't.
See, in a video game, I feel like I could probably win a video game boxing match against most members of Congress.
You know how sometimes in boxing matches, like someone gets hit a little too hard?
Yeah.
And something happens.
Right.
I feel like that could reasonably happen.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I would want to protect their health and safety for the sake of the sport. You know what I mean?
Oh, true.
Definitely. But it's got to be Mitch McConnell, right? Like, it's
Mitch McConnell.
I'm mixing
Is it
up.
Anyone in Congress or anyone in the Senate?
It says which politician.
That opens the doors. There's so many. There's Greg Abbott.
Greg Abbott.
Greg Abbott.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Shit.
Ron DeSantis, I feel like I could take him.
Ron DeSantis is a big guy, but I feel like I could take him. He's a Florida man.
Isn't he short?
I don't know if he's short. I know he's wide, though.
It just makes him look shorter.
Bro's got wide shoulders, you know what I'm saying?
I'm thinking of the picture when he had the white boots on.
Ooh.
That's the picture I'm thinking of.
You think in his like boxing gear, he'd wear the white boots? That should be gas.
Oh, got to.
Got to.
I bet they'd have like with the tassels on them too.
You think he wore white boots to make him seem more dirty, so you could like see the dirt, show that he was working?
Dig, that's crazy because they did not look dirty at all. They were pristinely white.
That's what I'm saying. Next question from Joe, second to last. If Kevin McCarthy and Matt Gaetz threw down that day, who are you betting on?
Kevin.
I think Kevin gets it.
Excuse me. Matt Gaetz just looks punchable and frail.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Gaetz has one thing going for him, and that's that he's a Florida man. So he's kind of just genetically
got that
more
Florida
insane.
Dog in him.
Yeah, but he also is a human trafficker. He ran from the allegations, and I think he's weak. I think deep down he's weak and insecure.
See, Kevin McCarthy, we know he has his stamina up because of the orgy allegations.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking because of that day he was mad.
Oh no, but I think because the orgy allegations. Okay. Like, he's got his stamina. He's been training.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think he dogs on him. I think he rocks him. I think Matt Gaetz has a weak chin.
Yeah. Say no member of Congress intervenes. Right.
Yeah.
And they just kind of circle up and watch the fight, 1v1. Uh-huh. I think because Kevin McCarthy's so angry and he's got the orgy juice, like, just soaking through his body.
Oh, there's lots of orgy juices.
He's ready. He's fighting hard. I think
for sure, for sure. And then for the last question on the first Hitto Q&A.
A lot of fighting.
From Sarah. Which conservative would you want to see fight each other in a Thunderdome? Matt Gaetz. Gaetz and Kevin McCarthy. Come on now.
Trump and Ron. Gotta be Trump and Ron.
Trump and
That'd
Ron
be crazy.
That was what I was thinking of before we started recording.
Whoever wins that gets the primary nomination.
True.
I think that's a fair competition.
It's a fair competition, and I think everything surrounding that competition would be very funny, because you'd have people like Ben Shapiro get in the studio, and they'd be like, well, you see, if we actually analyze Ron DeSantis' routine and the video that Trump released of his training, and then you'd have other people like Nick Adams talking about how Trump is the most alpha male boxer ever. You put him in with Ali and he's taking it.
I feel like Ben Shapiro at first would reject the idea, and he'd be like as soon as the fight is announced, he'd be like, this is totally barbaric. This makes the Republican Party look awful. And then, you know, like a few weeks before, he'd be on that, like, Ron DeSantis' routine is just better. He's exactly. The better athlete.
He's just better. If we analyze the set, his heart rate is lower here.
The heart rate, the footwork, the body weight, the wingspan, he's got all of it.
He's got the cardio, and he's got reach on Trump.
And then Nick Adams would be like, Ron DeSantis is a beta male.
He's a beta male cock.
Yeah. So I think that's our, I think that wraps it up.
President Donald Trump goes to Hooters.
That's right. I think that wraps it up for our episode.
That's a good one.
Thank you all for getting us to this point.
That was a good goal.
And we had, I think it was a good time doing the Q&A. Maybe we'll do some more in the future. Who knows?
Maybe. I'm happy with the questions.
Maybe we'll do a couple more. Thank you all for the questions. Thank you all for tuning in. And we'll catch y'all later.
Have a great week.